Hello, hello, Mediaverse members, and welcome to Mediaverse Unwrapped, where we bring our non-toxic Facebook community of Marvel fans to life. I'm your host, Max Taff, and I'm joined by the kingpin to my echo, Megan Nicole.
You embarrassed me in front of Vanessa.
On today's episode, we discuss the entire season of Echo. I am so excited. Let's dive in.
Let us do it. On today's episode of our Echo episode, Marvel dropped all 5 episodes this week on Disney Plus, and we're going to go through all of them. We will be discussing all the spoilers moving forward, so keep in mind that if you haven't watched the show, you're about to get it really, really spoiled.
Definitely. So, kicking it off with episode 1, titled Chaffa, the episode begins not on Maya, but on a group of strange, almost clay-like individuals residing in a mysterious underground cavern. When the cavern begins to collapse, the group flees through what appears to be a portal inside a small body of water and arrives on Earth. The people then begin to shed and transform into humans, and it is revealed their leader's name is Chaffa, and this is the show's iteration of the Choctaw origin story. Then we start with Maya's childhood. We see her and Bonnie playing together, then going inside to ask for hot chocolate, but they're out, and Maya's mother has to go buy more. With Maya in the truck, they were involved in a car crash that proved to be fatal for Maya's mother. Cut to a scene in the hospital where Maya's grandmother, Chula, blames Maya's father for her daughter's death. This leads to Chula telling Maya's dad, William, that he has to leave far, far away. Maya and her father leave Tamaha after she is out of the hospital and head to New York, where Maya is enrolled in school and martial arts. He also begins working for Wilson Fist, aka Kingpin, who appears to endear himself to Maya from a young age as a surrogate uncle figure. This episode shows how William was killed by Ronin. Ronin is Hawkeye's alter ego during the blip. And how Maya, older and angry, was taken in by Wilson Fisk. With Maya in Fisk's employ as an enforcer, we get our first cool action sequence and only Daredevil appearance. She's also promoted further up the organization and grows closer to her uncle. We see Ronan telling her that it was Fisk who ordered William's death and Fisk's apparent demise at Maya's hands in the Hawkeye finale. 5 months later, Maya returns to Oklahoma and starts seeing visions of her ancestors. In the flesh, she runs into her cousin Biscuits and his dog, Billy Jack, but asks him to keep her presence quiet. She goes to see Henry to get patched up, but his employee, Vicky, recognizes Maya as the King Killer and tries to cash in on the bounty. Maya wants Henry's help to take over Fisk's operation, but he is reluctant. So, Megan, what did you think of episode 1?
I thought it was a really strong start. I really liked it. It showed the tone really, really early for 5 episodes of a season. But I liked it. I was really excited to see the flashbacks to Hawkeye, even though I may have jumped the gun there, and I said, oh my God, he's in the show. He's back as Hawkeye, not realizing it was a flashback. But whatever. The Daredevil scene was really good. I was initially really nervous because of that leaked fight scene that was saw online. And I thought it looked way too choreographed. I thought it looked like they were dancing. But it was perfect. I loved it. It was amazing. I am not surprised that's all we got of Daredevil, because that seems to be the Marvel way to make you think there's a lot more going to happen than it is. But I thought it was just enough for the show. Mm-hmm. But it was good. I love Biscuits. I just love him so much. Mm-hmm. Billy Jack too. Is amazing. They're Chula. I don't like Chula. I think she's, I don't know. I don't like her. But they're all really, really well casted to be Maya's family, and they all worked really, really well off each other. And of course, Kingpin, I love Wilson Fisk so much.
I know, me too.
What did you think?
I agree with you on, first of all, I agree with you on Biscuits and Billy Jack. Like, I feel like we need a Biscuits and Billy Jack spinoff. Not really, but kind of. I would love that. I feel like we didn't get nearly enough Billy Jack as we could have. That was a crime. I thought it was really interesting how they used like a real Native American like folklore myth of creation, and they infused it into the show and made it a part of Maya's ancestry. I thought that was really interesting. I thought that whole cave scene in general was really cool. And to be honest with you, I don't know if you felt this way, but after watching the Kahorty episode of What If, like, it was, there were a lot of similarities and parallels, like, you know, the cave, the pool of water with a portal in it, the blue, like, there were a lot of interesting similarities. I don't know if that was intentional or if that was just kind of coincidental, because maybe they were trying to infuse the Native American mythos and kind of cross paths there. But I really liked the first episode. It was very strong. I agree with you on what you said about Daredevil. I don't think we got enough Daredevil, but there can never be enough Daredevil.
Yeah.
I was expecting at least a little bit more of a conversation between them. It just seemed like he was they fought each other and then he was just dipped. Like, it didn't seem, it just, and I mean, I liked the cameo. I love the fact that Marvel's at this stage where they're comfortable enough with their storytelling and their characters that they can just kind of have one come in for one scene and leave and never come back. And it feels almost like a real when you're reading a comic book and you see the main character fight another Marvel character and then we don't ever see them again kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It felt very authentic to that. So I did enjoy that. But again, like I said, we could always use a little more Daredevil. I'm very excited for his own show. But great fight scenes, like you said, amazing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I thought it was an overall really strong episode. For sure.
I thought so too. And we're pretty sure they're using this to set up for Daredevil Born Again. So if that's exactly what they're doing, it goes straight into it, then I think the amount of Daredevil they gave us was pretty fair. It was a good tease.
I feel like I know we're going to talk about this more at the end of the episode, but I feel like now that Daredevil has been made canon to the MCU, the Netflix series, them including Daredevil into the scene just made even more sense, because it's it shows that there's this pre-existing rivalry between Kingpin and his crime empire and Daredevil. Daredevil has been a consistent thorn in his side. It kind of feeds off of the original show, showing that he's kind of always been there. I mean, it kind of also helped to integrate Maya into things, since we didn't have her at all in the Netflix series. So I don't know. I feel like they're kind of they're greasing the wheels here to kind of make everything align. And I feel like they're doing an okay job so far.
That's true. They haven't talked, but they did fight. And I think that's going to be, I wonder if we do see Echo and Born Again, because that would make a lot of sense if we do. And I hope we do, because I can't not have more Maya. I just love her so much. So I hope so. But I agree with what you said. It's greasing the wheels pretty nicely.
I think so, too. And I agree with you totally. I loved Maya's character. Oh, I think Alakwa Cox is so great. She really came out strong in Hawkeye, and she really brought it to Echo. For these being her very first acting roles, and her not being a seasoned actress, I think she's killing it. And it really goes to show just how expressive sign language is just as a language. A lot of it has to do with facial expressions and really presenting your tone in a physical way. And I think that really lends well to acting. And I think that she did a phenomenal job. I'm very impressed with her. And I think that she's got a lot of doors are going to be opening up for her soon. I think she did great in this show.
I hope she just sticks with Marvel, because I want so much Echo. I don't want her to have anything else on her calendar. She's just too good.
Same.
Episode 2, Lohawk. In 1200 AD, Alabama, we see a game played by someone we find out is actually Maya's ancestor. This ancestor, identified as Lohawk, is part of the lacrosse game that will determine which part of the tribe will get to remain while the other will be exiled. After the opposing team brings in a proverbial ringer, the game is tied, heading into the final point where Lohawk's hands begin to glow with spiral images akin to what was seen on Chaffa's hands in the season premiere. Her team ultimately wins, ensuring that they and Lohawk get to remain in the tribe, jumping ahead to the present where news of Maya being in town begins to spread. Her grandmother, Chula, greet the news with concern that Maya is bringing New York problems. back with her that could engulf Tamaha, especially Maya's family. The news is enough to get Chula to speak with Henry to see if she can find out what Maya's after, and if he can convince her to just pass through town quickly and quietly to spare anyone, especially Maya's cousin, Bonnie, from the trouble that may follow. Maya hitches a ride on a train car to plant a bomb on a shipment heading to Fisk's local facility. Biscuits, the legend, following along off-road in his grandma's truck, is the getaway driver. During her escape, Maya gets her prosthetic legs caught in a coupling and channels the power of Choctaw, like Lowok did in the cold open, to get free. Maya gets away and the facility is blown to smithereens. Scully gives Maya a temporary prosthesis while he builds her a new one. Biscuits accidentally lets slip to Bonnie that Maya is in town, and Henry is furious about Maya bringing New York problems to Oklahoma with her attack on Fisk. So, with all that said, what did you think?
So, I love the episode. I thought it was great. A couple of things that I feel kind of confused me. First of all, I didn't really understand what, like, I understand they were playing lacrosse, but I didn't understand, like, what power this particular ancestor of Maya's was bringing to, like, her power set. Like, I didn't really get it. Like, because she's just playing a stickball game. Like, it didn't look like, I mean, I don't know. I didn't really understand what she was, like, presenting to the whole thing. But I did enjoy the scene. I thought it was really cool seeing, like, the Choctaw Nation in Alabama. And how they had this whole empire before, you know, the colonizers came in and, like, forced them into Oklahoma. That was interesting. And I felt like they could have like touched on those points in Native American history a little bit more. But again, I digress. It was really cool to see that. I don't know. I didn't really care for Maya's uncle at first. He kind of had to grow on me throughout the episodes. So I was kind of iffy on him. Something you mentioned before, not liking her grandma. Her grandma, again, kind of like she grew on me towards the end. It just didn't really make sense to me. Like, why are you telling Maya's dad that she needs to go far, far away? And then you're like resenting Maya for never coming to, like, to be in contact with you. It's like, you told, what did you expect? Like, for him to just leave her there with you or something? Like, it didn't really make sense. Like, I don't know. She kind of had some weird motivations. I don't know. It was odd.
I was the same way, because I was like, Chula, what is your problem? Like, they were grieving too. They lost someone too. And you're like, nah, they gotta go. But you're mad that that Maya's dad ran with the wrong crowd. That entire town runs with the wrong crowd. Fisk is in that town. His whole company. So, like, what is your deal? And you're gonna take it out on Maya, who was a child.
Exactly.
She got screwed over more than anyone. She lost a mom. She lost a grandma. She was on her own with her dad. And then she lost her dad. And you're still going to be a bitch about it. Like, calm down, Chula. Take a few seats. That didn't sit right with me. It did not.
Yeah. And on top of it, this poor girl lost her leg in the car accident. So it's like,
I know.
That this, like, I don't know. I felt so bad for her. Like, she even lost her leg. Like, it's not like, why are you so mean, Chula? And then she's like so expectative. Like, oh, well, you should have kept in touch with me and you should have come visit me. And Maya was like, I'm staying away from her for now. Like, I can't deal with her. And I don't blame her, because it's like, as you watch the episodes unfold, you kind of realize, like, why Maya is so hesitant to, like, reconnect with her grandma. We'll touch on it when we go over the next few episodes. But it's an interesting thing Chula's going through. And I don't really understand it at all. But yeah. I will say, the train scene was insane. I loved the train scene. That was so cool.
I liked that too. It was a big thing to do in the second episode of a season, but it worked really, really well. Mm-hmm. And it showed, I like how it showed Maya having to work with someone as opposed to working by herself. That was pretty cool to see.
Mm.
Yeah. And I like at the end when she's like,
true.
Yeah, I like when she tells Biscuits in sign language, obviously, that I didn't steal anything. And then just everything explodes. And I thought it was really funny, but I liked Henry from the get go. I was like, that's who she needs in her life. Is, I don't know who Henry is. I still don't know who he is. Like, is he an uncle?
Henry's the one that owns the bowling alley. So that's her dad's brother. That's her uncle.
Okay, so it's the uncle. Okay. I know who he is, but I was like, how do y'all know each other? That must have been the one time I wasn't staring at it. I like him. I believe is this the episode we meet Vicky, the guy who works at the bowling alley?
Yes.
Yeah. You could already tell so spontaneously and so quickly that Vicky's a bad guy. He's the worst guy.
Yeah.
So that wasn't surprising. But I thought it was a good, I didn't feel like it was as strong as the first episode, but I still feel like it was really good and had really good continuation.
I agree. It had some definitely great moments. Vicky, totally bad guy from the get-go. That actor always plays these types of characters, though, these like duplicitous types.
Yeah.
If you know, fun fact for all of you listening, he was on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He played John Garrett's son, I believe, or a young version of John Garrett. I can't remember. But he was on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and he actually had a pretty like major role in towards the end of the show, I think in the last season. And I will say the actor is great. Like I love watching him, but he always plays those very duplicitous characters. So of course, right from the get-go, I was like, something's not right with him.
Just Marvel double dipping in their casting pool as usual. I'm here for it.
Exactly. Yes. Same.
Yeah. But all in all, it was a good episode.
Oh.
First of all, totally agree. I would have been livid and all of you would heard about it. But I thought this was the strongest episode. The most happened. Everything happened. We saw Vicky die, which I was like, yes, that's how it's done. We saw great fight scenes. We actually got to see more of Bonnie. That was cool. I like that. God, so much happened. The cold opening with Tuklo, that was kind of, it was really cool. But it was still like, where are we going? What's going on here? But I liked seeing that. There's like, they give you like no information. It's just like, this happened at one point in history and hope you like it. So I liked it. It was good. I don't like Chula, but I really like Grandpa Scully. But I like Chula and Scully together. I like them together. I think they're cute. Scully is, I feel like all of our spirit animals, the dirty old man. But it was good. I don't know. I thought this was such a banger of an episode, but I heard people say it just wasn't. Like, there wasn't enough violence to say that it was TVMA. And I was like, but that the guy was dead on the table and we're just staring into his soul. We saw him get shot up and everything. I thought it was pretty violent in my opinion. Yeah, and we still saw it, you know, like they still showed it. That's really exciting to me because Daredevil was a very violent show. And this was their first, like you said, the first TVMA show. And they did bring the violence and the blood and all of that. I mean, what was it, the first or second episode? We get a close up of Maya having a gunshot wound in her stomach. That was pretty gross. So I think they did really well, especially since it was their first one. They took that plunge, and I think they nailed it.
For sure. I mean, in the first episode, we see, like, how Maya kind of falls down this, like, villainous turn, kind of letting loose her anger. She, like, breaks some guy's spine.
Yeah.
And then we see her, like, we see somebody getting their head blown off, like, right at the beginning when they're entering, when she's, you know, first on her first assignment from Kingpin. I mean, what else are you guys expecting here? Like, geez, y'all, this is not a Freddy Krueger film. Like, you know, like, relax. It's action. It's, you know, I'm definitely seeing the TVMA. I don't know where some people are complaining about, but, you know, I digress. I definitely feel like they put effort into making this a more mature title, and it shows.
Because
I definitely
does.
Wouldn't want, like, kids around me watching this, you know?
Yeah. And also, just because something is rated R or has more blood or violence in it, that doesn't make it a better project. That just changes what's in it. It doesn't make it, it doesn't like elevate how good it is. I think the amount of violence and blood they used in the show was perfect for Echo. It worked really, really well. It didn't feel forced. Yeah. So I thought it was good.
I did too. But one thing I will point out about this, this particular episode, like, why did she need to go to her grandpa to fix her leg? And yet she's, like, in the skating rink, like, making, like, makeshift weapons that and stuff. Like, if she had this, like, kind of, like, this brain for putting things together, why is she having someone else make her leg for her? Like, is that kind of, I just thought of that. Like, didn't really make sense to me. Like, I don't get why they did that. But I guess they needed her to connect with her grandpa, so.
Well, there's that. And when making a prosthetic, it has to be, it has to be perfect. It has to fit. And it takes welding. It takes a lot more things than creating a gun with skates. That was also something I kind of like was like, why? Not that she can make it, but more that like
we've had, happening?
We're on our third episode and I had no idea she could just put that together. I didn't know she had a mind to do that.
Yes.
But you guys showed it there. I feel like it could have come in handy other places. Like, what if she made her own little camera that she used on the train rather than Biscuits having to go find one for her, you know? But it was an odd choice. I mean, I guess she just needed to see her grandpa, like you said. But
yeah, I guess that's what they used for that. But yeah, it just seems like weird that she's able to just like make up like fully functioning weapons, but like can't like fix her prosthetic. I don't know. I guess what you're saying is true. It does have to be perfect. But I mean, I feel like if you already, I don't know. I guess I'm looking too deep into it. Let's just let it go. But that's something that I noticed. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't notice it until like you said something. Now I'm like, why? Why did they?
Yes, exactly.
There's such worse plot holes in the world and we're focusing on this. Episode 4, Tallulah. Episode 4's opening flashback is set to 2008 New York City, with Fisk waiting for Maya to get out of school. Maya attempts to get some ice cream from a vendor right outside her school, but is turned away as the vendor doesn't realize she's deaf. It doesn't end well for him, though, as Fisk beats him to a bloody pulp for this, and despite his best effort, Maya sees and even gets a few kicks in, piquing Fisk's interest. Flash forward to the present in Tomaha, Oklahoma, and the pair are reunited months after Maya shot Fisk in the face in Hawkeye's season finale. Fisk provides a means for the two to communicate and invites Maya inside to enjoy one of the personal dinners they used to enjoy when she worked for him, even though neither of them ate anything, but okay. The situation is tense as both make no effort to hide their suspicions of the other, with Maya even pouring a bottle of wine Fisk brought with him down the drain. Fisk then gets right to business and offers Maya a way out of her current situation, returning to New York with him to become his true heir. After this tense dinner, Maya goes to meet with Henry to discuss Fisk's offer and what their next steps should be. She then suffers from another vision at the same time as Chula, who is at the local fairgrounds preparing for the Choctaw powwow. It is enough for Henry to bring Maya to Chula for answers about what's been happening to her, despite not speaking for 20 years. Despite some initial awkwardness, Chula reveals to the true extent of Maya's lineage back to the first Choctaw, Chaffa, and how the women in her line are imbued with abilities to serve as the Choctaw's protector. The pair also take the chance to share their thoughts about how Maya felt pushed away by Chula and the grief Chula has suffered since the car accident that killed Maya's mother. While not enough to make peace, it is enough to get Chula to finish working on a special garb that she had in her home sewing room. Maya's next location is the Choctaw's Hotel Casino to meet with Fisk about his offer, which she refuses by holding Fisk at gunpoint again. Here, he reveals the truth about how he killed her father when he was... Wait. Here, he reveals the truth about how he killed his own father when he was old enough to free himself from his father's abuse and now offers Maya the same opportunity, though she leaves before anything can happen. The episode ends with Maya leaving Tomaha, while Fisk cannot hide now upset he is that she refused his offer. I liked this episode. It felt like not a lot had happened, but a lot did happen.
I did too. I feel like there was a lot of information that we gained. But again, like a couple of weird plot holes. Like, I remember Maya's dad telling her that he couldn't send her to a special school for deaf people. But then she's seen leaving like a private school with Wilson. Like, Wilson Fisk is picking up from a private school. She's wearing a uniform now. So I'm like, where did this... Like, is Wilson Fisk now paying for the school? Like, I just feel like there were certain things that's like that just kind of came out of nowhere that weren't explained. But they did it in a way that I didn't necessarily mind it while I was watching it. But now, obviously, as we're going through it, I'm kind of thinking, like, why wasn't this explained? There's a couple things like that. I don't know. But again, with Chula, you're right. She is kind of annoying. And I don't like the fact that she took out all of her... her grieving and her feelings about her daughter's death on Maya and her dad. Like, Maya's a part of your daughter. Like, she's a part of your lineage. You obviously, Chula has mentioned channeling the ancestors in the past, how she was able to tell Maya about it. But it's like, so then you know how important your lineage and your ancestors are, but yet you're letting one of your descendants like out into the world, not knowing anything about like her culture or whatever. I don't know. I just found that it seems weird that none of these relatives have seen her in 20 years when, I mean, Maya was able to go from New York to, or what I'm assuming was able to go from New York to Oklahoma on a motorcycle driving with a gunshot wound, but yet none of y'all can come visit her in 20 years. Like, something seems weird. I don't know. Didn't sit well with me. But I don't know. I like the whole Fisk and Maya dynamic. I know a lot of people out there are complaining about the hammer being different from the one that he used in Daredevil. I'm choosing to use the headcanon that he had someone just go out and buy a hammer for him to use, like, as a prop to, like, manipulate Maya into coming back and like, telling her this whole story and about his dad. And, you know, kind of, I thought he was using that more of a manipulation, because it also seems weird. Like, why would someone be carrying around a bloody hammer murder weapon for all these years, like, on their person, like, wherever they go? That just seems kind of odd, too. So, I don't know. What did you think about that?
I didn't notice they recasted the hammer until someone said it. And then I just said, oh, budget cuts. What are you going to do? I'm going to go ahead and assume that Fisk has a few of these hammers just laying around in random places just for these exactly. moments. Yeah. Like I could see him like Daredevil come over and he's like, this is the hammer I used. And he's like, but you just gave one to Maya. How many times did you kill your dad? That's what I think. So
exactly. That's exactly what I was going, like, thinking that too. So you're, yes.
That so many things, and people are so mad about a hammer, and it's like, okay, but it's a murder weapon. Are we mad about that? Whatever.
I mean, it just seems like so silly to me that like the props department couldn't like go out and find like a simple, because it's not like it's a fancy or like a special hammer. It's not like it's Mjolnir, guys. It's just a regular hammer. And it's just a regular like wood handle hammer. We've probably seen one that looks almost exactly like it a million times in our life going through a hardware store. Like, it just seemed like it was intentional for them to like have purchased a completely different type of hammer than the one originally used. Like, it just seemed that was an intentional choice to me. And again, another thing that like that wasn't really explained, I guess. But I don't know. I don't know what to say. But I liked the episode a lot. And I liked the show as a whole. I really enjoyed it. But there were just these weird little things that just like are adding up that don't really make a ton of sense, or that weren't explained well enough, that I'm just kind of finding.
There's strange, a few. Something to keep in mind. That didn't they take one episode out of the season about
yes,
6 or 7 months ago? There was a whole episode that all of this could have been explained in, but I also really want to know what that episode is. But I kind of hope Wilson Fisk just has a bunch of multicolored hammers just around. And I hope he gives one to Daredevil. I hope he gives one to Luke Cage. I hope he gives one to everyone. So that's my headcanon.
Hammers for everyone. You get a hammer, and you get a hammer, and you get a hammer.
Yeah.
You get a bloody hammer, and you get a bloody hammer.
Another thing I've seen people complain about is how much they show Maya just riding a motorcycle. As if she's leaving town, but she just never does. I don't care. Like, that's her thing. She's on a motorcycle. Let her ride. Who cares? Not trying to be rude to anyone let that her did. Ride. Yeah, I'm not trying to be rude to anyone that complained, but it's like, it just feels like some people are grasping at straws here to talk crap about the show. If you didn't like the show, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you're just trying to come up with reasons, oh, they had the wrong hammer, she's always on her motorcycle, she didn't read lips, it's like, it's okay. It will be okay. Seriously, after Secret Invasion, I promise we'll be okay. We'll be perfect.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, that's like the low point was Secret Invasion. As long as we're not there, like, we're good. I'll take 20 different hammers. Hell, Wilson Fisk could have pulled out Thor's hammer and be like, this is what I used to kill my dad, and I would have been like, okay, cool. Like, I don't know. It just Like, yeah, it just is what it is. I mean, you know, I didn't even mind. I didn't notice the motorcycle thing. I mean, how do you guys expect her to get around? She doesn't have a car. That's what she's using. Like, I don't see a problem with it.
Yeah, I mean, that's like really all she has. That's hers. It's her motorcycle. So why wouldn't she be on it? Why wouldn't it show her driving? It's really not that big of a deal, guys. It's exactly. Okay. Exactly. But it was a good fourth episode, and it was a good almost season finale episode, I think.
Yeah.
Because it really had all the makings of a good one. You had a whole chalked off fair. That was really cool. I have one something to mention is that we in Mediaverse Comics Unwrapped, our Facebook group, we have a few people who are from the Chalk Doll lineage who are really, really deep in it. They said that the whole show was very, very well done. Like the tiniest details they truly appreciated.
Awesome.
Yeah. Like they said, seeing the men braid each other's hair, just all these things. They said it was just perfectly done. And I think that's incredible. So hats off for that.
Yeah, no, I love how Marvel's being so authentic with their representation. We saw it in Ms. Marvel, and if you guys remember in past episodes where I've said, like, it was one of my favorite things was to learn about, like, all the different culture stuff in Ms. Marvel, and we're getting it again here. Like, I loved seeing all the different cultural aspects of being Choctaw and, like, you know, how it affects her family and the different things that they do. I love learning about that. I think it's so cool, and it's interesting, and it adds like a nice like little twist to an otherwise what could have been just like, if she was just like a, you know, like a normal white girl, it would have not been as interesting, because how many times have we seen that story? This is like fresh. No, but it's true, you know.
I know, no, I agree. Fresh.
It's interesting storytelling. It's teaching me things. It's teaching me things.
Yeah, I mean, Marvel's always, I feel like, gone the extra mile to get that cultural information so it's true. The Black Panther, they went out of their way to do all that. Cahorty, mm-hmm. Maya. Oh, I just had one and I forgot it. Oh, Shang-Chi.
Oh, yes.
I had another one and I forgot it. So, sorry, guys. But they do put all that work in it, but they've never actually, like, been, I guess, it wasn't an agreement. They worked so closely with the Choctaw Nation. That's huge. That's a big thing. Like, that is such great representation. And how closely they worked with the Mohawks for Cahorty. That's incredible. Yep. It's just so nice. That's and it's true. It always makes me happy when I see someone comment saying, I'm Mohawk or I'm Choctaw, and I loved seeing that. That's just so nice.
It is. It's awesome. Even during Ms. Marvel, we were seeing a lot of our group members who were from, you know, Pakistan and India and who were Muslim, who were talking about how authentic the representation was in Ms. Marvel, too. It's great. I love it. I think it's so cool to learn and to you know, be educated on these things that I would have never seen otherwise.
Agreed. I like it. I hope they continue doing it, because it's just for so long, you only got white male heroes. Now look at where we're at. We're all foaming at the mouth for more Echo. Like, that's amazing. That so much has changed. I love it. It's hope it keeps going.
Me too. All right. So episode 5, the season finale titled Maya. Despite leaving Tamaha in episode 4, Maya is drawn back to town after Cousin Biscuit says Bonnie and Chula haven't been seen. That, when coupled with the ominous arrival of a woodpecker, a reminder of Maya's childhood lesson on the Bisknik, and the idea that the woodpecker sends messages to warn that enemies are nearby, and connecting the whole woodpecker symbolism we've seen kind of threaded through from episode 1 from those scenes in the cave, this sends Maya back to the communal powwow event and into direct confrontation with her uncle, Kingpin. But with one stop along the way, when returning home, Maya sees a vision of her mother who helps her to take away the pain. Her mother is now revealed to have been a healer in the show before she died. Maya sees Wait, hold on. She does that by revealing that Maya comes from a long line of special women from the first Choctaw onwards. Their fire and their spirit is carried across generations to help them protect their people. And it's something that, as we see later, grants her supernatural strength as her ancestors echo through her. Maya is also given a new red suit designed by Chula. Fun fact, it took me a second watch to realize that Chula was actually like a tribal dressmaker, that was like what she did before. And I guess that for quite a few years, she hadn't like been doing that, maybe after her daughter's death. But that is something that used to be like what she did. She used to have her own store. And that's something I didn't put together until I rewatched it, in case anybody else didn't either. But the suit pays homage to her Choctaw heritage and carries the symbols of those who went before her. Maya arrives at the powwow and confronts Kingpin. Outside, Henry stops mid-level crime boss Zane from firing a rocket at the event by shooting him. Dude literally just whipped out like a rocket launcher. It was like guns a-blazing for whatever reason. Kingpin holds Bonnie and Chula hostage, but Maya gifts her powers to them through the connection of family. Chula obviously being Maya's grandma and Bonnie being her cousin. Allowing them to fight off their captors and escape. Maya, flanked now by the spirits of her ancestors, takes down Kingpin and holds her energy over his heart and head, finally using her mother's healing abilities. This forces Kingpin to start sobbing after they go through this like mental flashback mind meld thing, where he then relives his father violently arguing and abusing his mother. Maya then appears, telling him to shut out the pain and the anger, finally learning this lesson herself. Instead of attacking his father with a hammer in the vision, as he did in the real world, he decides not to. He's brought back from the vision, seemingly a changed man, less violent and confused as to where his anger has gone. Kingpin escapes before the police arrive. Echo ends with Maya and her family sharing a Fast and Furious style cookout together, with our hero seemingly finally finding peace in her life and reconnecting with her family. What a nice ending, I thought.
Yeah, I thought so too.
I enjoyed the violence in this. I thought it was great. I liked how we got to see Maya like finally coming into her powers that she now has, and like channeling her ancestors and their different strengths, like, you know, aiding and fueling her in battle. I thought it was cool how she was able to kind of like extend the power of her lineage to her other family members, the other women in her family, and how they were also able to kick ass. Fun fact about Bonnie, by the way, that I didn't realize, is that Bonnie is actually, the actress who plays Bonnie is the voice actress behind Kahorty in What If. That's something I didn't realize, and that's so cool to me. I love that they did that.
Ah, the double dipping again, twice in one episode. I liked it too. Double dipping.
Oh, yes.
So
what did you think of the finale, Megan?
I did not know until you said it that was Chula's job. Makes a lot more sense now. Okay, then. I wasn't disappointed, but I did expect a big fight, you know, with Kingpin showing like just what he can do. But I liked how they handled it too. When they are all, her and all her ancestors were standing at the end beside each other, I was like, oh, I don't cry at movies, but like I almost did there. That was really sweet. I liked that a lot.
Yeah.
It was good. I liked how tightly wound it was with the family aspect, because that's Maya starts the show with no one, so to see where she's gone, I think it's really nice.
I do too. I like the fact that she's like finally come home, you know. She's been displaced in New York, having to live this crazy like crime boss's daughter life, and then ending up being a crime boss herself, something that her father did not want for her. And now she's finally like at home, reconnecting with her roots, discovering this power that she has inside her. And it's really cool. I thought the show definitely came full circle. I feel like as far as Maya's story is concerned, they did a really good job of giving that a good conclusion. But like I've been saying, There were so many weird missed details that could have made the story a lot richer and like given us more like of like a cohesive thought process when watching. I feel like, as Megan mentioned before, I was waiting till the end to talk about it, but there was that missing episode 6. So I think that they may have like pulled different. I think what happened was they realized that the 6th episode, there was one episode that was just not working. There was some kind of a story plot thread or something they were using that wasn't working. So they had to go back and just kind of recut it. And they only announced that the episode was getting cut off like maybe 2 months ago. So it's not like they had a lot of time to go ahead and do reshoots or anything. So I feel like they kind of just needed to re-edit the episodes. And that's where some of the little things that we were kind of asking about kind of got lost once they were kind of trimming it back up and re-editing. But I feel like I was a little scared, I won't lie, when they announced that they were cutting off an entire episode of the show. I was like, oh my God, this is going to be a secret invasion situation. Not the case. They actually did a really good job of making sure that, for the most part, aside from a few details, everything was like cohesive enough to where it led to like a pretty decent show. And I'm pretty proud of what we got, and I liked it a lot. So I'm really happy with it. The finale I thought was good, and it really does set up Daredevil Born Again. So I'm hoping we do get to see Maya in that as well.
I wasn't nervous when they announced it because they did the same thing with She-Hulk and took an episode out of that. And I like She-Hulk. I understand some don't, but I do. I see what you're saying. They could definitely have taken parts of that missing episode and put it somewhere else. But my brain went to like, what if it's setting up something they're pushing back, you know what I mean? Because there's so many delays. Mm-hmm. Everything's just been miscombobulated. What if something was in that episode? They're like, we're not ready to do that yet. Or it showed a little too much of something from Daredevil Born Again. It could have been something of that nature. So
could have been, yeah.
Yeah. So that's
definitely possible.
Also, do they like just never go into detail about what Maya's powers actually are? Like what she can do.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I don't know.
So you bring up a really good point. And the thing that I wanted to discuss was earlier today, I saw some things on Twitter that were supposed to be like leaks or rumors about what exactly was cut from the show. And apparently, again, this is not official. No one's confirmed this. But from what I've been seeing and like some of the leaked story art that I've seen is that apparently there was supposed to be a big difference in the way her powers were being shown. Like they were supposedly she was supposed to have like facial markings, like whenever she was activating her powers, like the facial markings we would see her ancestors having would like show up on her face, as depending on which power she was using. And also like there was this whole thing where when she would be channeling a certain ancestor's gifts, I guess, like, 'cause I think that's what her power is. She's supposed to channel like certain special skills her ancestors had, that she would like initially like transform into the ancestor, like I guess to the audience, and then it would be her. So from what I saw, that's kind of what it looked like. So I'm thinking maybe they were cutting because honestly, saying it out loud, it sounds confusing. So like to normal audience members who maybe, you know, like this is supposed to be a Marvel Spotlight show where the whole premise of a Marvel Spotlight show from what they've presented to us is it's supposed to be something you can watch without having to have watched every single Marvel movie before to understand. So I feel like maybe that would have gotten too confusing trying to do that. Because like I said, even trying to explain it is weird. So I don't know if maybe they took those parts out and kind of like rearranged some things and kind of felt like, okay, after we've cut out all of this, there's one episode is too short. So let's just kind of combine it with the rest and cut out one episode. That's kind of where my mind is going with it. But I don't know. I guess we'll see. Maybe they'll eventually speak out on this, you know, in a couple weeks after the show has been out for a while. And maybe we'll get some answers. But I don't know. They really, like Megan said, they did not fully explain like what exactly her powers were. And also one thing that bothered me, I thought in this show we were going to get an answer as to why Kingpin killed her dad. And they never said like why he killed him. They never explained why he wanted him dead, why he tipped off Ronan to go kill him. It didn't make any sense.
I assumed it was more of a mobster reason. Like, all right, you did this for me. You killed a bunch of people. You know too much. I'm done with you. You're dead. That's what I assumed. But like from what you were saying, the face paint glowing when she used a certain power would have been really cool. like, she didn't have to change her whole body into it, just like a different face paint. But that would have been really like cool marking. To see.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have liked that a lot. But whatever, Marvel. That's fine. So I think I'd give the show about an 8.5 out of 10. What do you think?
Same. I was thinking like an 8.5 out of 10 too. Okay.
Oh my God. Nice. Just so everyone knows, we haven't discussed this show before this episode. So we're genuinely excited.
Yeah.
We are
for sure.
What we cannot forget is that mid-credit scene. And the post-credit scene, Kingpin, a more empathetic Kingpin maybe, is listening intently to a news report stating that the race for New York mayor is wide open and it needs someone who is a fighter and can understand the people. Might Maya's actions have accidentally driven Kingpin ambitions for power in a higher office? So, in the comics, Fisk becomes Mayor Fisk, by fixing the election. He then uses his platform to publicly declare attack on the vigilantes of the city, including Daredevil, Punisher, Luke Cage, Spider-Man, and any other crime fighter. Fisk decided to outlaw the vigilantes and have his Thunderbolt units enforce the new law. Thunderbolt units are a specialized police task force created at the implementation of the Powers Act by Mayor Wilson Fisk, equipped to handle superhuman threats, expanding on Fisk's ownership of the Thunderbolts brand in the comics. So, this could go so many ways. This is a great way to bring in Luke Cage.
Yeah.
This could be a reason why Punisher is involved. Mm-hmm. Great way to bring in Spider-Man. Great way to start the journey to Thunderbolts, which also could mean that Fisk is involved with the Thunderbolts movie. So this is very exciting to me, people. I was very excited for this part.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, I'm so excited to see if this does end up, like, this storyline does end up connecting to Thunderbolts, because I mean, if you guys remember from Hawkeye, we did have a Val connection. Val is supposed to be in charge of the Thunderbolts. And we did get that connection where she kind of hired or someone contacted her to hire Yelena to kill Clint Barton and Hawkeye, relating to Wilson Fisk's criminal dealings and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's definitely some threads being like weaved in here, and I'm loving it. I'm loving to see it. I love when Marvel does this. I love when you can look back and be like, oh my God, I remember they started hinting at this like 3 years ago in this project. You know, that's like my favorite part of like of just being involved and or of liking the MCU. So I'm very excited. I really hope it does like link to Thunderbolts. And I don't know. I'm interested to see how Fisk decides to do this, because supposedly he's supposed to be more like empathetic, but it's like he's going to become the mayor, and I'm sure he's going to be one of the main villain of Daredevil Born Again. So it's like how does this all happen? How does this all make sense? I'm ready to know. I'm excited to know.
Me too. This is the stuff I like, the street level stuff. It's so good. So, let's hear from what our members of our non-toxic Facebook group, Mediaverse Comics Unwrapped, expected from the show before seeing it. Would you like to take us off?
Yes. So Ricardo M. said, I'm expecting to have fun and enjoy the ride. I enjoyed this character in the comics, and I'm looking forward to Marvel expanding on her journey. Well, they definitely did that, for sure.
They did.
Sean M. said, wanting to see her backstory, interactions with the Kingpin, a grounded street-level story, and a small appearance by Daredevil, wanted to revolve around her and not have multiple appearances by other characters to try and sell the show. It's her show. Keep it about her and her backstory. I would be happy with that. Wow, Sean hit it on the head. That's exactly what we got.
He really did.
Damn. Sean, you're psychic. All right, so TJM said, I predict that Kingpin will finally begin to reassert control over the criminal underworld in New York City. After getting shot by Maya, he'll be angrier than ever, and he'll be even more ready to go to war against her, Daredevil, and eventually Spider-Man. Well,
I mean,
I definitely think he's on his way to war against them, but I don't think that.
Well, I think this
came true.
Now this works now, not during the show, but now it works.
Yeah, it's true. Now it does. And lastly, Maddie C said, I'm still 50-50. The first thing we heard about this show was that Marvel was not satisfied with it and they didn't even want to consider reshoots. But then the trailer came out and it looked awesome and the rest of the marketing seems really solid. So I have no idea what to expect. Well, Maddie, I think that we all had our expectations blown away. It was better than I expected for sure.
May this be a good learning opportunity to stop listening to the clickbait.
Yes, so true. Because that was never substantiated. That was just a rumor that someone started to get clicks. So yeah, it's very true. Be careful what you're listening to out there, guys.
Yes, if Marvel doesn't say it themselves, just move on.
For sure, for sure. Now, we also have comments from our members after they watched Echo. So Megan, why don't you take it away with that?
Sure. Lael M says, oh God, it's so good. And I'm so excited. The Defender Saga is officially MCU canon. Aren't we all? I swear they were just waiting for this show to drop to make it canon. Pietro C says, I've always said this with the coming of Daredevil Reborn. I think he means born again. If Fisk will be the mayor in the series, possibly they're going to do Devil's Reign, which would be why the Defenders is a part of the main MCU. Since it's its own screen, might as well throw in Maya Lopez. So Devil's Reign, that was what I just described with the mid-credit scene segment of this episode. Okay. Yeah. Jeff C. says, Echo has to be my new favorite MCU show.
Awesome.
Pam, she's a very lovely woman. Pam C. says, I stayed up and watched them all. Like somebody said, I teared up at a couple times, and overall, I felt like it was fantastic. I'm not going to be picky about little things. And that fight at the beginning, and the mid-credit scene, I see what they're setting us up for. Yep.
I see it too, Pam.
John H. says, just took a look at the timeline order on Disney Plus, and Echo takes place between Wakanda Forever and She-Hulk for anyone else who was curious.
What? I didn't even realize that. Oh, wow. Makes sense, I guess.
That was going to be one of my tea times with Max and Megan, but I felt John should say it. So thanks, John.
Thank you, John.
And thank you all for your comments. If you ever want something said in the recording, just let us know.
Yes, join our group, Mediaverse Comics Unwrap. We are always looking for member feedback, and we may read what you post on our podcast.
It's true.
All right, so taking us into tea time with Max and Megan, I'm going to kick us off with the fact that, as we've been discussing this entire episode, Marvel's Daredevil, Punisher, Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, Luke Cage, and the entire Defenders saga has been added to the official MCU timeline on Disney Plus. So they are all officially canon. That also adds about 161 hours of content to the MCU's total runtime. So kind of bittersweet if you're one that likes to rewatch everything in order, you're going to have a lot more to rewatch. So but I'm sure some of you must have done that before anyway. So
these rewatches are getting brutal. Oh my gosh.
I know. The other day I was thinking about, like, if I wanted to do an MCU rewatch, I don't even think I would go as far back as, like, Infinity Saga. I think I would just be starting with Multiverse Saga and beyond right now, because it's just way too much to get through.
Yeah, that's something you're preparing for, like, months in advance for. Well, not in advance, preparing to watch it for months. But maybe for someday. Sure. So our next piece of tea, Wonder Man, which will serve as Marvel Studios' second project under the Spotlight banner, has resumed filming after being shut down for the SAG-AFTRA strikes. I'm very excited about this one.
I am too. I forgot that Wonder Man was even happening until I read this, to be honest. It's been so long, but I'm ready for it. Why not?
Why not?
So, our next piece of news, LEGO has confirmed more than a dozen new Marvel sets to roll out in 2024, including a Spider-Man versus Doc Ock set, a War Machine mech armor set, and so many more. That is so exciting. I love the LEGO Marvel sets. It's so funny because I remember over Christmas, I went to some family's house and I was in my nephew's room looking at all his LEGOs that we've bought him over the years. And I saw these really incredible sets of like the Avengers Tower and stuff. And I was like, man, this is so cool. Like, I love how much joy LEGO brings to people.
I don't like doing LEGOs, but I like seeing the end conclusion. And there's something. Over a dozen sets is really cool.
And that's a wrap on Mediaverse Unwrapped. Until next time, you can follow me everywhere at His Name Is Max.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Megan the Gangsta.
Join our non-toxic Facebook group, Mediaverse Comics Unwrapped. Follow our public Facebook page, Mediaverse Plus. Follow us on all of our socials at Mediaverse CU. Our new episodes will be airing Tuesdays everywhere you stream your favorite podcasts moving forward. So thanks for tuning in and goodbye for now.
Vanessa, no!
Ha 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 ha.